Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for those online, my friends from Portland. You know, I had a dream this morning, but I'm not sure I want to share it at the moment because I'm not sure. Well, we'll just see. But anyway, I want to start with a scripture, and it is 1 Nephi on page 40, and it is chapter 3, and I'm going to start in the 230th verse, and it says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory." You know, a guy asked me the other day, he said, "What made you come to the Church of Christ?" And I thought about that for a second, and it doesn't take me long to answer that. It was the honesty, it was the love that they had for the truth. That no matter what, how unpalatable it was, that's how they would explain it. There was two families that had moved here to Missouri. Mine was one and another one that we became really close. And they were from Idaho. And they've since passed away. And some of the dreams that my sister had were simply amazing. And I'd seen a lot of deceit in the church that I came out of. And that bothered me. And one of the prayers that I always prayed, I prayed for exceeding great faith and God's truth. Not my understanding of it, not someone else's, but God's. And in that, he showed me many things. You know, I know some would say that I have a bit of an attitude sometimes. That's true. I desire to know God's truth. I desire to live as close to that as I possibly can. There's a scripture in it. It's in 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter. And it is the 16th verse, and it says, "They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men." It's kind of an interesting scripture. Are we truly the humble followers of Christ? I hope so. But to have that love for one another, to have this, "And they were armed with righteousness and with power of God and great glory." I haven't seen that yet. I've seen glimpses of it in the church that I came out of. But I want that kind of experience and that kind of power given to us. That we would be those humble followers of Christ. You know, the things that changed my life were not always good things. And I had many experiences with the Lord, especially in that other church. And I didn't realize until I went to work for a friend of mine. You couldn't find a job up here. And I was reminded of those things. In John, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse, "But the hour cometh as now as when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe those are the main qualifiers. And so how are we led by the Spirit? Do we understand it? Not always, do we? Do we desire it? Yes, we do. Who's in charge of giving it to us? The Lord himself. Through the Holy Ghost. And that is the thing that changes our lives more than anything else. You know, I found some of those great experiences. There was another guy that said to me just the other week. He said, you know, grew up in the church. I didn't grow up in the church. He said, you know, I envied some of the people that came from the outside. For some of the experiences that they had were phenomenal. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because I needed those witnesses. I needed those experiences to say, Lord, I want to follow you. Because I can see what you can do. Sometimes when we sit in the pew and we're in a church, well, we've already arrived. That's not necessarily true, is it? So I needed those. But I understood exactly what he was saying. I didn't have the heritage that a lot of you people have. You see, that Spirit, when it finds place in you, it's like nothing else. It's a joy that you can't explain to someone. Changes the very heart of who you are. I know that there is a God. I don't just believe. I know that there is a God. And he shows me things and he tells me things. I want you to go to 2 Timothy. 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Consider myself one of those, not the gold and silver. And some to honor and some to dishonor. I hope to the first. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What are the works that we're doing? How do we desire to serve our brothers and sisters? I see my brother always back there in the sound booth. I see my pastor always busy. My assistant pastors, same thing. Do we truly desire to serve our God? James, fifth chapter, the 17th verse. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Of like passions. You know, I think of myself as a very passionate kind of guy. trying to be humble. You know, there's a lot of experiences that I have that I sometimes do not share. And in that dream this morning, I was told that there were some things that I should not tell people. Because they just don't understand. I want you to go to Hebrews. Just a page. Eleventh chapter, and you know where I'm going. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not, fifth verse, I'm sorry, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, that's an interesting thought. You know, a friend of mine said to me one time, he says, you ever wondered why Enoch was translated? You ever wondered why Enoch was translated? Like Job, a perfect man. Had a relationship that with God that you would kill for, right? But the thing is, the more that you understand and have that kind of relationship with God, the less you have in common, even with your brothers and sisters. That's an awful thing to say, isn't it? It becomes really lonely sometimes because you cannot share those things. Because you want others to have that kind of relationship, that kind of back and forth. You know, people say to me, I live 45 minutes away from here. I wouldn't drive that far to church. But you know, I always had 45 minutes to an hour. Every time I drove home, went to work. And it gave me time to establish that relationship with my God. That he would tell me things, show me things that just amazed me. Did it for 31 years. You know, there's things about our lives that, you know, I had ministry in that other church. And a year before I accepted the ministry, my brother called me into the church. I knew it was coming. Lord had told me. And I said, fool me once. Shame on you. But I wanted something that I could not deny. I wanted God to tell me that I was called. And so a year later, we had basket dinner up at that little congregation. And Bob Oldham was preaching that day. And in Sunday school, my brother Lauren had said, he says, well, some people never accept their responsibilities. It was like a dagger through the heart. And I said, you know, that sounds like that's aimed at me. He said, oh, no, no, no. You all know my brother Lauren. And so I went back and I sat down and I said, Lord, if you want me to accept this ministry, you tell me in Bob's first scripture that he reads. So in John 15, Sixteenth verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I walked up to Lauren afterwards and I said, I accept. He didn't know what I was talking about right away. Pretty hard to deny that scripture. You know, after having ministry before, I didn't mind teaching Sunday school. I didn't mind doing anything that any of us are responsible for doing or can be. But obviously, it's a little bit hard to deny that scripture. And so, what does the work look like? You know, it says to deny yourself, take up thy cross and follow me. Meaning the Lord, right? And so what do we deny ourselves of? In a lot of instances, we deny ourselves of the blessing that God has for us. We're satisfied where we are. We're satisfied with sometimes the crumbs not even on the table. You know, I sometimes look at myself and say, unfit and unworthy for the kingdom. But I go back to that scripture and I have to look at it and say, you know, need to do a better job. You know, there's lots of ones that gone before us that have had just amazing experiences. Can you imagine walking with the Lord? Him knowing everything about you. Everything about your heart. All your weaknesses. You know, I found this scripture, and I think I used it not that long ago, and it was in Romans. And I think it's the 9th chapter. And it says this, and it's verse 20 of the 9th chapter. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that is formed, formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another one unto dishonor? You want that kind of relationship? You have to be all in. You have to desire that the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon you, and no matter what it is and how distasteful you think it is, that He wants you to say those things. You know, my dad had cancer when I was up in Alaska. And I called my mom and I told my mom, I says, take me a little bit to get everything sold and I'll come back home. Loved my dad. I still miss my dad. He was such an honest guy. No matter what you asked him, he'd tell you what he saw. And it didn't matter who you were, you know, but you had to ask. And my mum said, well, the results won't be back for a couple of weeks. And so I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, if you heal my dad, I'll be your servant. This was before any ministry or anything like that, and I just started out learning the gospel. Said, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. And so 2 weeks' time, I called my mom to see how my dad was doing, and she says, oh, Trev, she says, you're not going to believe this. She said, it's gone. And I said, yeah, I know, Mom. I've never forgotten what God did for me. And I try never to forget what he does for me. And so those are the things that define our lives in a lot of ways. If I believe God, which I do with all my heart, then those covenants and those things that he does for me, my dad ended up by passing away 10 years ago, I think it was. I tried to get back to see my dad before he passed away. One of the few regrets that I have, and I can understand how Abraham felt when he was told to leave his family and his land. I'm going to give you a land. I want you to know that land. And he gave him something to do. And it's no different for myself. Even though this now is my home, you know, and I enjoy my home. I enjoy my little farm. But it's not the same. Every time I go back, you know, I think about, well, you know, should I have gone back? But it isn't. I've got a job for you. I want you to do that job. I want you to know how to do that job. I want you to do the best job you can. I told my wife one day, I says, you know, I said, when I retire, I said, I'd like to go back home and go fishing down the sounds and just enjoy life. And then reality hit. She says to me, what would you do? Go fishing every day? She said, you love talking to people about the gospel. And she was right. I had to consider that. I see her make eyes at me and so on. But you know, our lives change, we become satisfied with where we are. I'm never satisfied with who I am and my walk with my God. It gives me dreams, shows me things, tells me things. And yet, you know, it would be easy to think that you were something. But I know that I'm not. I know that you all have that possibility and that within you. That desire to serve, that desire to make a difference in someone's life. And so the great trials that we go through, and so I want to go over to the next page on page 43. And you know, and sometimes, same family, right? In this chapter 4, and I'm going to start in the third verse. For he truly spake many great things unto them which were hard to be understood, save a man should inquire of the Lord. And this is talking about Laman and Lemuel. And they being hard in their hearts, therefore they did not look unto the Lord as they ought. I think sometimes we're the same way. Lord, should I do that? You know, many times I'll be working on something on the farm, and I'd say to the Lord, if you help me get this done, I'll go up to the visitor center. And you know, there'll be someone that'll come by that was truly an inspiration to me, or show me things that I hadn't seen before. I'm just amazed. Go down to the 9th verse, and it says, "And I said unto them, Have ye inquired of the Lord? And they said unto me, We have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us." Well, he's not going to tell me, so why would I ask? Is that the right attitude? Of course not. Of course not. You know, I find for myself that I have been doing a very poor job of praying about things. And I told the Lord the other day that I need to change that. My prayer life needs to be better. And so, like I say, I received a dream this morning that someone had stolen my Bible. And I went to borrow someone else's. And their Bible I couldn't understand. It was so different. All the names were different. You couldn't find anything in there. And they all laughed at me. I thought, I don't really care. Because it wasn't about pride or anything. And then that's when the Lord told me, he says, there's some things I don't want you to tell them. I thought that was kind of interesting. Because, you know, if I see something, I would just try and explain it better. It's like Enoch. You know, becomes lonely sometimes because people just don't understand. I want to go to Ephesians. And you all know it, the 4th chapter, 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And then the interesting part, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All we are is tour guides. Some want the tour, some don't want the tour. And so, have to be satisfied with that. I have to be satisfied with that. Peter. Fourth chapter, 17th verse. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, we would like to think that everyone was saved. It's not necessarily true, is it? But we have a hope. We have a desire that most people would find the gospel and that they would lay hold of it, and that, even like for myself, that it would change your life in so many different ways. Sister of mine that's passed away now told me one time, she said, if there was anyone she thought would not have accepted the gospel, it would have been me. You know, I've testified of that, and not that I was proud of who I was, but that God seen something that no one else seen. The potential. That potential is very hard, because look at Laman and Lemuel. He already seen what their potential was. So the Apostle Paul, he believed there was a God before the road to Damascus, didn't he? Acts. Ninth chapter. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shining around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Recognized that it was something that he'd never heard before. Fast forward down to the 10th verse, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. He said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. What's Christ telling him right there? I'm not sending anyone else. I'm sending you. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then something really interesting. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It was all smooth sailing from then on, wasn't it?
an easy job. Come unto me, my yoke is easy. It's not quite that way, is it? That purging, like it was in 2 Timothy, man purges of himself. There's a lot of things I have to change about my life. A lot of things. It's those changes. It's the end product. Even though it's a wooden vessel or an earthen vessel, you know, there's a lot of things that have to be changed about. Third chapter of 2 Nephi. Thirty-first verse. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the God in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. That's me. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what Ammon and them seen? With the king and the queen and all those other servants who slept in the Lord when they woke up. Can you imagine that? He hath confounded my enemies under the causing them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away unto exceeding high mountains. And my eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write it. Oh, then, if I have been seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow? And my flesh waste away, and my strength slackeneth because of mine afflictions. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? You know, there's a great responsibility that is given when the Lord shows you things. You know, I would desire that everyone would have that kind of relationship with our God more than anything else. Because it truly changes who you are. I desire to be a better servant. I desire to serve my God in whatever capacity that he feels is important for his cause. I have a great love for each and every one of you. And I desire that you have that kind of relationship with him also. that it's important to you more than anything else. Like my brother testified of the goodness, the great miracles in his life. Make us know how he wants us to know that he's always there for us. You know, you got the Mother's Day sermon this morning, so I figured you didn't need one this afternoon. But I want to wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the love that we share, which is our Lord and Savior. And I desire you to have that kind of relationship and that love for your God. I've came a long ways, not just from Richmond, but I've came a long way spiritually. And it's been an amazing journey, one that I could have never imagined. And so I thank you for your time. And I pray that each and every one of you receive something out of that message. And so God bless you. And hopefully we'll see you next week. Bye.